Well, good evening and welcome. It's my very great pleasure to welcome our parents, students and members of the Eastern and Mountain District Radio Club into the school tonight. And I must say I've been anticipating this evening for the last couple of weeks when I heard we're going to link with the International Space Station. It's just something which has consumed the school really for the last 3 years. We've got the Mannings here with the STARS project, and it's something that a large number of our students have been involved with, trying to get our little spiders in space thing up, and it hasn't gone yet. But this is the first taste of space that means that we might actually get to the next stage, which is launching STARS, hopefully in January. Is that the right date, Kevin? Are you sure there's not been another delay? Not yet. So really, I'm actually looking forward to tonight, and I'd like to recognise Alan for all the work that he's done to get this project up and get the club into the school. They spent Sunday setting up, and they've been here today putting the antenna up on our tower. And we've got Ivor here who's invested a little bit of time too, who's actually capturing the moment for us. So I hope you have a very enjoyable night. Alan's now going to take over and tell us what's going to happen over the course of this evening. So relax and enjoy.
Yes, good evening. It's something that we've been sort of planning for probably 3 years. It just suddenly assumed a life of its own earlier on this year. Okay, go on to the next one. Just a quick introduction to what it's all about and where it came from. Initially, this started off with the STARS project, which you've all probably heard about. We thought another dimension to the STARS project might be the opportunity to talk to the astronauts on the shuttle that's carrying our spiders. So we applied to a group called SAREX, which stands for Space Amateur Radio Experiment, for them to help us to organise that to happen, to get contact with STS-107. Of course, in the fullness of time, with all the delays, what's happened to SAREX is it suddenly became ARISS, A-R-I-S-S, which stands for Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. Earlier this year, pretty much at the start of the year, we got a communication from ARIS that said, we have you on our list for contacting the space station sometime later in the year. So the whole thing has now assumed a life of its own. It's no longer formally linked to the spiders in space.
Just wondering what the how high the path will be, or with
really
the
to do with spiders in any particular way. The EMDRC I've got over there, that's an indication of these people who have come along to help us tonight, setting up the radios, setting up the antennas out there outside. That's EMDRC, stands for the Eastern and Mountain Districts Radio Club, and they were very supportive right from the outset when we first wanted to do a SAREX contact with the shuttle. They said, yes, we'll come and help you out. Okay. The people involved, I think Daryl's already told you, myself and Bronwyn Pratt have been trying to drive this the last few weeks. Ivor Davies has been invaluable. And the people from the EMDRC, most of whom are here tonight, Robert Broomhead, and under that image it says he's the current president. He couldn't be here tonight, which is a bit of a sad thing. Joe McGee, he's been driving it pretty much as the main contact. He's also not here tonight. But we have Andrew Blight here. Jack, is it Barham or Brabham?
It's Bramham.
Bramham. Jack Bramham. And Craig Cook, who the expert's with us tonight. So we've got Andrew here. We've got Craig here. Where's Jack? Over there.
Jack.
Sorry, I always get you wrong. Craig there and Jack there.
That's okay.
Okay, next one. Just briefly, the equipment. We've got antennas on our tower outside. We've got tracking antennas, so we can follow the spacecraft as it goes overhead. So we can point the antenna directly at the spacecraft. No matter where it is in the sky, we can point at it. And we have two transmitters here, a main and a backup. And we've got main and backup power supplies. And that's all courtesy of the EMDRC. Next one. Now, one thing that you're going to see as we approach, and I'm going to put this up very, very soon, we're going to be putting up a thing called Satscape, which will show you the current location of the ISS, of the space station on the globe. It'll actually give you a map of the globe. You go to the next one. It gives you a map of the world. And you can see in the middle of the, I guess it's the North Pacific, isn't it, there, with the ISS there with a circle around it. That circle around the ISS is what we call the footprint. That is the area on the surface of the Earth where the ISS would be visible or where we can actually make contact with it. So we'll actually see that moving across in real time very, very shortly. And as that orange circle crosses Melbourne, we will then be in a position where we should be able to contact the space station as it goes overhead. Once the orange circle moves off Melbourne and away from Melbourne, we will lose the space station because it's going to be down over the horizon. I just wanted then to introduce you to the actual students that are going to be involved. We have Ahmed S. Sabah. Ahmed. We have Sarah Pasowitz. We have Luke, whose name I can never pronounce, or I call him Luke H. We have Ross Walker. We have Lexi O'Day. Claudia Kwok, Sushama Talwati, Alicia Davey, and David Hall unfortunately hasn't made it along tonight, so we'll have to manage without David. Each of these people will get a chance to ask at least one question of the astronauts, and possibly two, depending on how much time it takes for them to answer our questions. Okay, I think we'll just move that then. These students have been showing an interest right from the... right from the very start, most of them, and they've been consistent in coming along to meetings and dealing with the issues as we've been looking at getting ready to do this. They put up the questions. The questions they're going to ask tonight are their questions, only slightly modified perhaps by myself in a couple of cases, but essentially, as I say, that they're the questions that these students felt that they would like to ask an astronaut if they got the opportunity. Yes, NA1 ISS, VK3 BPU. Yes, greetings from Australia, up there on the International Space Station. Are you ready for some students to have a talk to you and ask you some questions? Over.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. That'd be great. Over.
Hello, this is Ahmed Asaber. It costs billions of dollars to build and maintain the space station. How do we justify this expenditure when there is so much humanitarian need all around the world? Over.
Well, that's a good question, but less than 1% of each U.S. tax dollar money goes toward supporting the space station and all other unmanned research and all other observations that we do, for instance, using the Hubble Space Telescope. So I think it's been a great benefit since the Apollo program. We have had advances, including everything from polarized sunglasses to baby diapers, disposable diapers. So I think that we can't always predict what benefits we will see, but we use them on a day-to-day basis. More recently, we've seen things like the development of artificial heart pumps, and I think in the future we're going to see even more development. So I do think it is very much worthwhile. It's a very small investment compared to, I think, the outcomes that we will get in the future. Over.
Hello, this is Sarah Patsevich. Could you please describe the view you get of the Earth, and can you see any evidence of human activities from space? Over.
Well, the view from here is outstanding. I can't even begin to describe how beautiful our planet is. The one thing that always strikes me as amazing is how thin our atmosphere looks compared to the size of our planet. And it makes me realize how important it is to take care of our planet. There are evidence of human activities that we can see from space. We can see things like roads and cities, obviously. So it is possible to see quite a bit, especially with some of the really high magnification lenses that we have on board.
Hello, this is Luke Hedjikiriakou. Are you concerned about the possibility of sustaining radiation damage because you are not being shielded from solar radiation by the atmosphere? Over.
Well, actually, here in low Earth orbit, we are still somewhat protected by the magnetosphere of the Earth, but I am exposed to a higher radiation dose than I would be receiving if I were on the ground. In the future, any exploration that we do beyond our planet will require that we have additional radiation protection because it is one of the serious risks of long-duration space stays. Over.
Hi, this is Ross Walker. What was your occupation before you became an astronaut at NASA, and was it difficult to get a job at NASA? Over.
Well, actually, I've always said I never had a real job because I went immediately from graduate school to working at NASA as a postdoc, and then later was hired by a contractor and then by NASA. So, and that was 10 years before I was ever selected to become an astronaut. So I've been working at NASA my whole life. I think it's possible for people to get jobs relatively easily at NASA. There are some limitations, however. in terms of budgets and cutting how large our programs can be. So that's probably the only limitation. Over.
Hi, this is Lexi O'Day. How do training simulations on Earth compare to really being in space? Over.
Well, it's great to simulate all the tasks that we do here in microgravity, but the one thing that we can't simulate very well is being in microgravity. So even though we learn how to do all the individual tasks, learning how to do them in space is always a little bit more challenging. So there is a little bit of a... Over.
Hi, this is Claudia Clark. What are your goals in this particular mission? What do you hope to find out? Over.
Well, we're continuing the assembly of the International Space Station. The next shuttle will be bringing up the piece of truss called S1. It's large enough to fill the entire payload bay of the shuttle, and we'll be using the robotic arm of the station to actually install it onto the station. And then the flight that I go home on will also be bringing up another piece of truss structure that we will attach. And so we're going to continue the assembly of the station, but in the meantime, we're also conducting numerous scientific investigations, everything from human life sciences to microgravity sciences investigations. Over.
Hi, this is Ashama Tawat. I don't see how pens could work in a weightless environment. How do you write? Over.
Well, actually, some of our pens don't work very well, but we do have mostly self-tip pens, and they work just fine in the weightless environment, as well as pencils. Over.
Hi, this is Alicia Davey. How much free time do you get, and what do you do in your spare time? What do you do for entertainment? Over.
Well, we have weekends for the most part free. We have half a day on the weekends where we kind of clean house, but the rest of the time is available for us to do whatever we'd like. We spend a lot of time watching the Earth. It's so beautiful to look out the window, reading books, or email. We have access to email, so we can send email to family as well. Over.
Hello, this is Ahmed Astabir again.